The Fed chairman goes prime time. So what was he trying to say?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke defended his actions last night on 60 Minutes. We'll break down his remarks from two important perspectives. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The Dow is down about 25 points at 11,356. The Nasdaq down about 0.1%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.2%. We've got two CEO turnovers to tell you about today. Kellogg, the maker of Pop-Tarts and Cheez-Its, will replace its CEO. The company says it expects profit to fall next year. And drug maker Pfizer will get a new leader. Analysts say the old one didn't produce enough blockbuster drugs for the company. Now let's get to the primetime performance of Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke last night on CBS's 60 Minutes. He defended the Fed's recent efforts to boost the economy against critics who warned those efforts will lead to inflation.
We're not printing money. The amount of currency in circulation is not changing. The money supply is not changing in any significant way. What we're doing is lowering interest rates by buying Treasury securities. And by lowering interest rates, we hope to stimulate the economy to grow faster.
Now let's bring in Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, to help analyze this for us. She's with us live. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So the Fed chief was speaking to at least two audiences. First, what was he trying to say to the investors who follow his every word, whether he's speaking on 60 Minutes or at some economic forum in Frankfurt? What was his message to them?
Well, his message to investors was that the Fed has a lot of commitment and a strong resolve to completing this policy and possibly even extending this policy. Given all the controversy around it, some investors had begun to wonder whether the Fed would even complete the $600 billion purchase that they announced. I think Chairman Bernanke was saying we definitely are and we might even do more.
All right. Now, and what about the American public? This is a primetime show. It's watched by millions of people, 60 Minutes, many of whom probably don't pay much attention to what the Fed chairman does on a daily basis. What was he trying to say to the American public?
Well, again, I think what he was trying to do is cut through the political rhetoric a little bit and get his message directly to consumers, who ultimately it is consumers' confidence in the recovery that will determine the success of the policy. So his message is he's very worried about the labor market situation. The Fed is on the case. They're going to do all that they think that they need to do to support the recovery. And I think he was just trying to show some strong leadership and send a reassuring message that the Fed is focused on what people care about, which is the weak labor market.
Okay, Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks as always for your time.
It's my pleasure.
A court in France has found Continental Airlines criminally responsible for the crash of a Concorde in Paris 10 years ago. 113 people died in that crash when the supersonic jet came down after hitting debris on the runway. Well, Continental will have to pay a fine, and a Continental mechanic was given a 15-month suspended prison sentence. Analysts are worried this ruling could hinder future aviation investigations because witnesses will be hesitant to come forward with information.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Well, here in New York and all around the country, the bell ringers from the Salvation Army are out asking for your spare change. It's the giving season, after all. And as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, giving books is a growing trend in the world of corporate philanthropy.
At the checkout register at Borders Bookstore in Los Angeles, the cashier says to each customer,
"We're also collecting donations for a charity called Aviva. We're trying to get books to kids for Christmas. Did you want to donate one of these titles behind me?"
Sure.
These two books? Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Mary Davis is PR manager for Borders Group.
This is a great way to get books into hands of kids that might not otherwise have access to these books.
She says the book drives reflect well on the company.
It's great when your local bookstore or your local retailer has a vested interest in strengthening communities, so it's a good PR story.
In a completely separate act of book charity, author Tom Clancy and his publisher gave 1,000 copies of his new novel to American soldiers. The books included personal thank you notes from the public. Tom Colgan is Clancy's editor.
We've given books just directly to the military, but this twist of really getting people involved directly where they can write their own message is new. That's something that we came up with this time around.
If there's any benefit in terms of marketing, he says it's not by design.
We're giving away 1,000 books, so we're not going to sell 1,000 more books because we did this.
Penguin is also donating $10,000 to Walter Reed Red Cross, and Borders is giving $50,000 to a literacy charity called First Book. But other companies prefer to give more products and less cash. Consultant Kurt Whedon advises corporations about philanthropy.
It's the tax advantage, the branding advantage that comes in conjunction with product giving that's driving that form of corporate philanthropy throughout the country, not just in the book publishing field.
In 2009, Whedon says high-tech giant Oracle was one of the top corporate donors.
99% of their giving was product.
Publishing and philanthropy intersect again as Whedon writes about the subject in a new book called Smart Giving is Good Business. Comes out in February. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, there's a steal to tell you about out in Montana. It's a quiet getaway, and the price has dropped down to $69,000. That's less than half of what it was originally on the market for. Oh, there is one thing. It was the former home of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. His little cabin is not going to be included. That was taken away by police. Realtors are boasting that the property is secluded. I'll bet. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.